Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How many of us want to do all we can for the Lord in our lives? And I'm serious about this. We want to be able to serve God to the fullest extent and do as much. I know that in my heart I can voice that out openly. I want to be able to provide unto God the best service my life can offer Him. We hear it often since the beginning that the time is near, that His time is running out. And all the news even today, isn't it amazing that everyone talking about the end times? It's obvious, you have to just raise your eyes just a little bit on the horizon, you see with all the events, how can you not believe that Jesus is on the way? It's incredible. So much is happening. And so time is getting away. And so somehow there is an urgency to excite the people and excite ourselves to move as fast as we can, to do as much as we can. As a matter of fact, that training, that type of training comes to us since the very beginning. We've always done our best to train our children not to be lazy or sluggish or slow, but to be aware and alert and alive and moving and active, to be able to achieve things and go after it and get up and run for it. As a matter of fact, we have scripture in Hebrews chapter 12 that tells us that we need to run the race. Run the race. And by nature, humanity has been very impatient. I don't know who we should blame for that, because again, as I say, since the beginning, I remember being a child, we're always taught by our parents to move, to do things, to get things done. Don't expect anyone to do it for you. Provide, get out there. You got to take the world by storm. Do it now. Life's too short. I was thinking this week on things I've wanted to accomplish. Here I am speaking about age again. And it's amazing that now at my age, I speak more about my age than I used to when I was 20. I didn't care about time when I was 20 or even 30 and sometimes even 40. But now at my age, I do look back at the life that I live and I ask myself, what have I done? What have I accomplished? And did I move fast enough to be able to accomplish the things that maybe I should have? And well, if you're like me, we are our worst critics. We have a lot of negative things to say, and you should have done this and you should have done that, and you shouldn't have waited. You should have executed that whole idea since the beginning. You should have moved this way and then that and the other, and you would have accomplished certain things. And so you begin to punish yourself because you did not move fast enough. But did you ever consider that sometimes waiting is the best thing? I want to speak to you not about moving faster, but about something we seldom talk about or even entertain, or something we even consider a good idea. And that is to wait. We don't do that very well. I would venture to say that in this house, there may be a minute number of people that might know how to wait well. How many of us know how to wait well? Thank you for being honest. I wouldn't have raised my hand myself. It's difficult to wait. Again, especially when as a child you've been trained to move. And when the need that you have is personal, then you know how much you need that. You want to achieve that. You want to receive that already. I would venture to say that some young people wish they had their degree now, but they have to wait another 4 years by the time they graduate. Some of us may want to accomplish something here and there, but nothing can fasten time enough. You have to wait. There are scriptures that speak to us on waiting. There are also scriptures that speak to us on running. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run. The scripture encourages us to run. Don't be sluggard. Don't be a sluggard. Move fast. You'll never accomplish anything. It's a normal thing for us. And so we sometimes will join that very same thought that God is happy when people hurry. That we can somehow please the Lord more if we will just move faster. But yet in Scripture, we find that there are many times where your advancement in life isn't all about how fast you move, but how good you wait. Are you following me this morning? Your advancement in life, the accomplishments in life that you want, isn't it kind of ironic to say this? It's oxymoron. That the faster you want to move forward is dependent on how good you can wait. How good you can wait. In the Old Testament, we have accounts where so many have been faced by obstacles and opposition that were ordered by God to stop people, to stand still and not do anything because God wanted to prosper them. It doesn't make any sense in a normal thinking. God wants to stop you to do nothing because He wants to prosper you and advance you. Doesn't make any sense. You would think that God would want to hurry you to give you what He wants faster. But yet in Scripture, as in Exodus 14:13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. Stand. To stand still. 2 Chronicles 20:17, you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions and stand firm. And see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow. Wait. Don't go today. Go out. You want to win this battle? Go deal with it tomorrow. Ephesians 6:13. Put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Standing, just being still for a moment. The Apostle Paul gives us a very important principle. He gives us an approach to ministry in the church. It doesn't really make all that much sense, but it absolutely has an effect on his work for the kingdom. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door of effective work has been opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Three things he mentions here. One, I'm not going. He had an urgency to go to Ephesus. He had an urgency always to go see the churches. It was always his desire to get on the move and always go and visit these people to make sure that they were well spiritually and in every other way. But yet here he writes and says, I'm going to stay right here. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to go that way at all. I'm going to stay here another few days. Then he says something very important, because a great door of effective work has been opened to me. Now, he could have been speaking about the present place he was at, or speaking of the work he would be doing in Ephesus. He says, but there are many, I had a lot of problems going on in my life, but I'm going to stay right here. Paul always instructs us, ladies and gentlemen, to be obedient to God. And I don't know who this message is for this morning, but for some reason the Lord bothered me with it that I had to share it. I believe that there are people in this place that want to advance and do things not only for God, but to accomplish things in your life. And you're busy at it, that you've taken from the important things that God wants you to do, and you're hurrying through things and making mistakes in your life. You know, impatience, if I can say, and I've said this many times, impatience is the friend of no one. In the scripture, we have time, and I could give you so many examples of how many people who are impatient, who made mistakes and moving out of speed or step with God. How many understand that experience in life? How many have done something just so far ahead of yourself, and it takes you forever to fix the mess you made? I should raise two hands. We make an error. We do things. It could be buying a house, buying a car. It could mean anything. Making an investment. Changing work. Anything in life that you don't take time to wait upon God, for many people has caused so much strife. So I've taken from this little passage three things that I want to encourage you with this morning. Three things that I pray in Jesus' name will birth and help you to understand why it's important to be patient and to know that sometimes waiting is the best thing you can do until God sets you to move. The first thing that waiting will teach you is to agree with God's plan. Listen carefully. Doesn't sound very divine, very deep for many, but it'll save your life. Patience will teach you how to begin and to learn to agree with what God wants to do in your life. It teaches you how to avoid the temptation of hurrying. It teaches you how to stop trusting in yourself and in your move and begin to trust God for His plan. Paul writes to the Corinthian church in a sense of urgency, but he was facing certain situations. He said, but I'm going to stay right here. He wanted so badly to be with them in person, but he just couldn't at that moment. And that is a sign of maturity. And I believe that this is a sign of maturity that God expects us all as we grow into this great church that we've been talking about for the past few weeks, of how awesome a church we are. To learn to wait on God is one of the most important things and seldom talked about. It seemed like even at the altar when we see somebody and say, well, brother, go get it. Have faith, move. But seldom do we take the stop and talk to somebody and say, listen, you need to sit down and do nothing. Wait. Wait till you hear clearly from the Lord. God had other plans for Paul. God had other things. He was orchestrating things in his life, and he was not ready for him to be at a particular place. Paul says something very mature that some of us we say just flippantly sometimes, but we should mean it. Whenever we plan to do something in our lives, we always say, if the Lord, right? If the Lord permits. Now, let's be honest here. We're in church. How many mean that? How many of us really mean, if the Lord permits? When you say something like that, what you're saying is, I know I want to do that. I know I want to achieve that. I know I want to go there, but we'll go if the Lord permits. And then you take off anyway. You didn't wait for any permission from anybody. You didn't take time to fast, to pray, to seek, to read, to ask for counsel. You didn't. You just said, if the Lord, it's the most customary and Christian conscious thing to do. It's proper conversation amongst Christians. Bueno, si Dios quiere, hermanos. Y no nos esperamos para que Dios quiera. La impaciencia nos gana. Amén. La impaciencia no es amigo de nadie. La impaciencia te mete en muchos problemas que muchos hemos conocido. A veces es un segundo de error y nos lleva una vida para componerlo. Impatience is the friend of no one. He had a personal desire to be there. He had a personal vision for the people. He was desperate in his heart and need to be with them, to encourage them, to build the church up. If he could just make it to Ephesus that day. He was a man of vision, and we know that where there is no vision, the people perish. So there's a positive thing to encourage you. I've got to do this. I've got a vision. But I must tell you that if you do have a vision, it has to couple together with one other thing. It must couple together with the openness and receptiveness that if God wills it, it'll come to pass. If he gives you permission to execute that vision that you have, through the work of his Holy Spirit, the anointing of his Holy Spirit, through the pressing of his direction, then we move. This is one of the major characteristics we find in our Savior, Jesus. Jesus said this in John 14 and 31, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. I love my Father and I do exactly what he has commanded me. There were many instances where Jesus did exactly, in every instance where Jesus did exactly what the Father told him, in spite of whatever he was feeling. How many know that Jesus had feelings too? Anybody read about him going to Gethsemane to pray? Where the Bible said that his sweat was that like blood. He was feeling the agony of what was going to happen the next day. You think there wasn't any anxiousness in his body to say, wow, so much we could see that he said, Lord, if it's possible, pass this cup from me. Amen? So he was feeling, and sometimes we feel things. We feel so convinced of things. But yet at the end, he shows something that very few of us, we have just admit we do, and that is to wait for God's will. He said, nonetheless, let your will be done. Unless you order it, Father, I'm going to go and stay right here where you've called me to be. Many times we see him portray his life this way and live out his life with it. So the challenge of the hour this morning concerning our patience and not making mistakes, and if you want to prosper in life, we need to learn how to wait on God. We need to learn how to accept and to be in agreement with him. The Bible says that lest two agree, they cannot walk together. Amen? And the last time I read the scripture, the Bible said that he's the one that said, I know the plans I have for you. Nowhere in the scripture do we find where the Lord said, well, you tell me what you want me to do and I'll just go ahead and follow you. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. I need you to agree with what I want to do with your life. And I say all of this because we want to prosper in life. We want to move forward in life. We want to accomplish things in life. When it comes all the way to education, a married life, children, homes, business, whatever it might be that your heart is chasing after and praying to God to give you a clear picture of, I believe that the first thing that the Lord would teach us all to do is to wait for his perfect plan. Because without it, we're going to fail for sure. James 4 and 13. Now listen, you who say tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go and do this or that, or to this city. Spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? Basically, why would you say that? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears only for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, here we go. This is the verse that we all quote when we're talking to our friends. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. When you follow God's will, there are no repairs to make. He knows the way for your life. And I don't know if someone is getting ready to make a certain decision that you're really moved and emotional about, but God is wanting to save you from a huge mistake. And I'll leave it right there, whoever's listening to this. You're getting ready to make a serious decision in your life. But God is waiting for you to ask Him if that's His will. Which leads us to the second point that Paul mentions here. The second point teaches us that knowing that anyway, as we move forward, it's not our ability but His endowment. It's not our competence that makes us prosper. The vanities of men today teach us that we are skilled, educated, smart, creative, and all able. And by witness, we look at this world and wow, we've done a great job at creating a lot of things. God has been so merciful in giving humanity wisdom. Can you say amen? Amen. You can talk on real time to someone in Japan right now if your son is up there in the military somewhere. In real time, who ever thought that you could speak through air? But somebody did. It's the intelligence. But through all of that wisdom that we have acquired, men have somehow taken that gift, if you will, and made it their own ability. And God is trying so hard, especially in this world of geniuses. We live in a world of genius where people are too smart for God. And God is trying to bring back even the church, the marketing from the pulpits, the men trying to build ministries and doing everything they can with the skill, the technological skill they have, the abilities to formulate all these kinds of programs, all with the effort of just bringing the hordes of people in and building skyscraping venues. And we've empowered and put ourselves in such a place where we think we're invincible. And I believe that the still voice of God still whispers, it's not you who is able, but the endowment and the competency comes from the Lord. This is what Paul is teaching here. He says, I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door of effective work has been opened to me. What does that mean? That he didn't open it, but it has been open. It has been open. We see his total dependency on his effectiveness in ministry and in his life. That whatever door God opened, no one could close. And whatever door God closed, no one could open. I believe, and though it's such a difficult thing, easier said than done, is that every believer should try to have his fingerprints on door jams as little as possible. Can you understand that? You know, a door jam, la puerta. Our fingerprints in life should seldom be on the door jams of our life. We should let God open doors for us. Because the door that He opens is a door that's going to prosper you and bless you. And that comes to effect in any area of your life. Paul wasn't saying, I'm staying here because, man, I'll tell you what, our plan is working. I'm staying here because we figured out how we could attract everybody to come here. We figured out the strategy. We're marketing perfectly well. We were able to reach on our own efforts. We've got radio stations announcing this revival we want to have right where we're at. It's working for us. That's not what he's saying at all. He's looking at the effectiveness of his ministry and his life and saying, you know what? God has made it available for us to be able to be successful where we're at now. A lot of people in this world have made themselves successful, but it's only for a time. Paul said, someone else opened the door for me. Someone else is going to give me the victory. Paul knew the level of his success was not his own. And I believe that that is a very important, though it's a very difficult lesson to learn today, because it almost makes you feel incapable of anything. And if you put it that way, quite frankly, that's true. Because we serve a God who is all able. And is it not for God, and had it not been for God, even today you and I would not be here. So how much of the success in our life belongs to us? Nothing. Paul's effectiveness of ministry and his life was inseparable. It couldn't be separated from him knowing that it was God who made him who he was. As you move forward in your life today, God wants you to be effective. But he also wants us, a church, to learn that our efficiency will never come by our own strength if you call him Lord. But he has prepared a way for you to success, to be successful in every way. But he's the one that knows the way. You can rearrange your life in any way you want, but it'll never be as successful as the way God wants it. A man once said, you can rearrange all the chairs in the Titanic, but it's still going to sink. Amen? You can rearrange all the chairs in the Titanic. You can make it as beautiful as it was, as beautiful as it was, and it still sank. And so we can arrange our own lives any way we want. We can adorn them. We can put all the jewels and jewelries and acquire all the this and the aesthetics of life to make your life look absolutely immaculate. But it's still going to sink. Unless the Lord gives you the success. Unless God gives you the prosperity of your life. What are you praying for? Are there petitions in this house this morning? I have petitions before the Lord. And trust me, none of them have to do with my destruction. They all have to do with my prospering forward. Let it be in health. Let it be financially. Let it be whatever it could be. Every petition that we have is always upward. Amen? Amen. I never pray downward. Lord, I just pray today's a horrible day. Man, I hope they come to repossess my car today. That would be a petition answered. That we never pray that way. We never pray that way. We always pray for success. Father, give us, do this, make our day prosperous today. But God is waiting for you to understand and accept the fact that he can do that if we learn to agree with him. Amen. And to understand, to give him the glory when we get to that place. Amen. And the third thing this morning, and I'll finish this morning, is learn to identify stepping stones. Listen to me carefully, because this is something the church suffers a lot of. People in general, not only in the church, people suffer a lot of this horrible virus. We fail to see what are stepping stones, and we often fall for them as stumbling blocks. What am I talking about? The troubles that you face in your life. How many of us know about troubles in this house? We're here today by the grace of God, and we're thankful that you're here, but I believe that that's because you've learned something. You've learned something about problems that every one of us should learn. And there's an adage that we say, and just something somebody put together, but said, if it won't kill you, it'll make you stronger. You've heard that said? If it won't kill you, it'll make you stronger. And basically the teaching behind that is, listen, you're okay. Take a deep breath, take a step, get up, and keep moving forward. And Christians, how many times have Christians failed to learn that? Paul said this, I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, in the same verse we opened with, because a great door of effective work has been opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. I'm facing a lot of troubles in my life. The human tendency, ladies and gentlemen, when we see or we experience negative things, is to turn away, sit down, run away, do something, but never move forward. How many people could be here today? And over the years that we've been here as a church, that we have met, started out on fire, loving God, moving forward, you couldn't stop those blazing Christians. But all of a sudden, they went through trouble. And it was a stumbling block to them. And it destroyed them spiritually. And it made them run away. Instead of fight, they decided to choose flight. That wasn't Paul by any measure or anyone who followed Christ. It won't be anyone who follows Christ today if you expect to succeed in your walk with the Lord. Paul always saw and understood the opposition that he faced was never a stumbling block, was something he could use as a stepping stone forward. I'm thankful today. I can say this on a personal level, and don't take this as pride, but I've gone through a lot of things in my life. And it's a hard thing to say sometimes in your prayers, but to say, Lord, thank you for my experiences. Now, I'm not confessing to want to go through them again. Amen. I'm not that silly. But I am thankful that I've been through the things that I've been through. Because I'm still standing here even stronger in the Lord. And that's who you are. And that's what you can be if you learn to identify stepping stones and stop looking at them as stumbling blocks. Paul was never deterred by the opposition. There were things in the way. He is the one who confessed to know what it's like to be left for dead, to be starving, to be full, to have, to not have, to be loved, to be unloved, liked, unliked, brought in and cast out, thrown in prison. He knew everything about life. But yet he kept walking stronger every day in Jesus. And I believe that in these last days, and we have not seen the ugliest of days, I promise you, God is looking for us to learn how to get stronger through our turmoil in life instead of it causing us to run away from Him. Amen? Very important lesson. Very important lesson. Stepping stones. What won't kill you will make you stronger. As we walk in the Lord, the more troubles that we go through, and nobody's praying for those and nobody's wishing for those, but when they do come, you need to know that they always come to trim, to tailor you for better service. It always comes. Sometimes they come by on our account. Sometimes they're sent by other people. And sometimes hell itself will work at it to try to destroy you. But you should always stand firm in the power of the Lord. The Lord showed this people how stumbling stones could often become stepping stones if we fail to announce them. You remember the martyring of Stephen? In Jerusalem, remember? Everybody had a plan to stay in Jerusalem once Pentecost had come. This is it, man. We have arrived. This is the apex. We are in complete utopia. This is where we need to spend the rest of our day serving the Lord. And God said, that's not the plan. And however heaven decided to orchestrate this or permit what happened, we saw the martyring of Stephen. And it was the eyes of the world that saw them, the eyes of the church that saw them. And what happened? You've read the story. You know what happened when they martyred Stephen. The church scattered. They all scattered. But they didn't run away from God. They simply ran away from fear. But the Bible says that everywhere they went, they preached Jesus. So there was a benefit to that stumbling block. And there's always a benefit to the stumbling blocks that we face in life. Always. We just need to learn to look at them differently if we want to succeed in our walk with God. What I'm here to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is to learn to wait on God is the best thing always. Instead of your thinking and planning and trying to move forward on your own, learn to agree with God's plan in your life. Amen. Learn to give Him the glory as He causes you to succeed through life. And learn that whatever opposition you may face has only come to make you stronger. How many people of us here, how many of us here have gone through stuff that could have easily deterred us from ever coming into church again? It could have been the slightest thing. And isn't it funny? I find it even funny, and I'm not laughing at this in a mocking way, but sometimes because now, after all these years, I counsel with a lot of people all year round. I counsel to a lot of people, with a lot of people. And I meet both young and old, and old that are still young in the Lord. And they come to express to me the troubles they're going through. And inside my heart, and I'll say, and I'll just usually the term, I laugh inside. Again, not mockingly, but I smile inside because I remember when I was that young in the Lord, or when I was growing up and learning this lesson, that I went through something exactly like that or similar like that. And I said, here I am 15, 20 years after that happened, and I'm still stronger in the Lord now. And so my encouragement to them is, listen, we've been there and done that. That is a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. Learn to stay in Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Let's learn to walk with God. Learn to look at the stepping stones that God allows us to walk through in life. Life is not easy. Somebody say amen. Life is not easy. Life is not easy at all. When you're living as a teenager, you have certain troubles and they're not light. They're heavy for you. When you get married, you go into a different area of situations, a lot of different troubles. And when you get older like me, it's another array, another area of all kinds of troubles. But none of them. Jesus said this. He said, in this world, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Amen. We're having troubles as a country. This world is having all kinds of troubles right now. People are worrying. Christians are worried. Even Christians are nervous about what's happening. Talking to a brother over the phone, I said, you know what? All I know, at the end of the day, I'm saved. I'm saved. Our biggest concern is to be saved. Our biggest concern is to pray and to know that whatever stumbling blocks the enemy is trying to put around in our country, in the world, inside the church, outside, at home, wherever, at work, we are going to use them to step closer to God and be stronger in the Lord. Come and say amen this morning. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I promise you, I had completely different thoughts in my mind to talk to you this morning. But I know there's someone in this house who they need to hear this, to learn to wait on Him. Learn to be patient. Learn to agree with God's plan in your life. Agree with Him. He's the one that knows the way to success in your life. That prosperity you're looking for. And I'm not talking about finances and riches. I'm talking about the success of you being happy. to being fulfilled in your walk with that happiness that you're seeking for, that success, that is true success, to be happy in the Lord, to live your life and be full. God, agree with God. And know that whatever you do to accumulate on your own, you can, again, tell you can arrange your furniture in your life as much as you want, but unless God does it, it's going to sink. It's only temporary. Let God open the doors for you. Let God lead you in. And stop running so quick. Stop running so quick. Stop blaming God for the troubles you face. They only come to make you stronger. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Anybody remember Joseph, the prince of Egypt? Talk about a young man with troubles. Talk about a young man with stumbling blocks in his life. But had it not had those stumbling blocks, he would have never arrived to where God wanted him. I'll give you a quick synopsis of his life in a couple of breaths. At first, it seemed like nothing for Joseph but tragedy. His brothers didn't like him. He had dreams. They hated him. They were jealous of him. And you know the whole story. So what they do is they throw him in a pit. They sell him as a slave. And he's off to the pharaohs of Egypt. But you see, had it not gone through that trouble, he would have never arrived to the place where God wanted him to be. Had he not been sold to the Ishmaelites, he would have not gone to Egypt. Had he not gone to Egypt, he would not have been sold on the auction block. He had not been sold as a slave on the auction block, he would not have become Potiphar's slave. If he had not become Potiphar's slave, he would not have been given charge over Potiphar's affairs. If he had not been given charge over Potiphar's affairs, he would not have been falsely accused by Madam Potiphar. Had he not been falsely accused by Madam Potiphar, he would not have ended up in prison. If he had not ended up in prison, he would not have met the baker and the butler. If he had not met those two, he would never have interpreted their dreams. If he had not interpreted their dreams, he would have never been introduced to the king to interpret the king's dreams. If he had not the power of God to interpret the king's dreams, the king would not have found favor in Joseph. Had the king not found favor in him, he would not have been made ruler over all of Egypt so that he could save his people, including his family, from starvation and death. Isn't that amazing? He went through all of that to become a savior. All of that to finally be the help of the very same people that caused him the trouble. It's such an emotional story if you read the whole story. A young man unliked by his family. Sold away, went through so many years of stuff. So much pain. How many times do you think he could have blamed God and said, I'd never ever trust him again? But had it not gone through all those what seemed stumbling blocks, he would have never realized that all they were was stepping stones. The day came when his own family came starving. And he was the administrative clerk of all the riches of Egypt. And he said to them, what do you have need of? They didn't recognize him because God had even transformed him aesthetically. They could not tell it was their little lost brother. And he knew it. And the Bible says he ran away to another room to cry because of what God has done in his life. Can you imagine him thinking, and all of this came about through all the trouble I went through. Through all the trouble I went through. He shook himself up, possibly went to the mirror, fixed himself up. He said, well, I'm still not going to stop now. I'm going to move forward now. And went and he ordered those who worked under him to feed the family. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever we go through in life, and I promise you, I know that I'm not the only one who's gone through things in life. All of us have gone through things in life. Don't ever let it make you run away. They're stepping stones. God is going to take you to a place where you're going to be a benefit to His kingdom. You'll be a blessing to others. You'll be a blessing in the church. You'll be a blessing to your family if you will not shrink away. The Bible says that we are not those who shrink away, but remain and are saved. So maybe you're going through something this morning that has caused you to doubt. It's a stepping stone. Turn around and tell your neighbor, you're only getting stronger. You're only getting stronger. Give it to God. You're only getting stronger. Trust Him. Trust Him. Give it to God. Trust in God's plan. Trust in His power, His leading, His anointing, His Holy Spirit, His word. Pray. Seek God. And don't run. I don't know if you read the end of the story, but we win. I say we win.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.